T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So we had some news that rolled out earlier today that actually I was only informed about on Wednesday of last week, and there's been a big radio trade for those of you who have not been dialed in, and I would look at the calendar. It is not April 1st. It is March 1st, so this is not some sort of funny joke, although I think it would have been great if we could have held on to April 1st, and then all of a sudden I start doing my show at 97.1 and Dave Glover starts doing the show here at KMOX. It would have been a great April Fool's prank that was real. Don't you think, Klein? That's kind of a miss there.
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
A little bit. So there's really no other way for me to address this other than just telling you exactly what happened and what's going on, at least some of the nuance. And here's the deal. The bottom line is that Dave's show, and they work in our building. I think that this is important for people to know that Entercom owns both of these radio stations. It was an MS radio station that was purchased by Entercom several years ago. And 97.1 FM Talk has been an immensely successful station. And I know a lot of KMOX listeners maybe have never checked it out. A lot of 97.1 listeners haven't checked out KMOX, believe it or not. We look at these things, and sometimes you'd think or assume there'd be more of a shared audience, and sometimes there is, and sometimes there's not. But I think everyone is aware that Rush Limbaugh passed away recently. There's going to be an announcement on a new show in that day part, and I don't know what that is. People have asked me, and I have not been told.
I get that question
all the time,
too. I'm not even
sure if the decision. Yeah, right. And I don't know if the decision has been made. But I do believe, and this is something that I don't know how much my boss, Steve Moore, and Becky Dami want me to say. What are they going to do, Dave? Are they going to fire me? I'm off KMOX anyway, right? So as of my last day, and Klein, fill in the holes here if I forget to say something, okay? Because my brain is sort of discombobulated. So my last day on KMOX is going to be the 19th of March. On the 22nd of March, Dave Glover, who has been at KFTK for 20 years in Afternoon Drive, building a huge listening audience, will start at KMOX. I'm going to Mexico that week. That was already a planned vacation. So I actually joked with my bosses, hey, when is this going to start, when they call me? I said, tomorrow. And they said, no, maybe the 8th or the 15th. I said, slow roll on that. I'm going to Mexico no matter what. So then on the 29th of March, which is, I believe, 4 weeks from today, I will start at 97.1. So then, Dave, what's the question? You're getting questions about this today. People are wondering, what's the number one question that you're getting? Why is this? What's going on, right?
Yeah,
going on here? Is this a good thing? And what I'm getting, is this a good thing? Our congratulations in order, all of that. And the answer is yes. Now, I will admit that I'm sad also, because there's emotions that come in. I've worked at three great heritage AM radio stations, KFRU in Columbia, Missouri, WTMJ in Milwaukee, and KMOX. I grew up here in St. Louis. I went to high school in St. Louis. I wasn't a young kid here, but I grew up on WGN, another heritage radio station in, you know, Chicago. And then I moved here and I heard guys like Jack Carney and Jim White, and I'm like, I want to work at KMOX. And I started in FM radio, though. I was a music guy. I didn't know anything about talk radio except for KMOX, and I didn't know how to get to KMOX, but when I was doing music radio in the late 1980s in Columbia, I started listening to Rush Limbaugh. We recounted this a couple of weeks ago, and I almost took a pay cut, and I was barely getting paid to go to KFRU in Columbia to quit my FM job to do talk, because I was so interested in doing talk. And I've done talk exclusively on AM radio stations for the last 30 years outside of one little FM year here in St. Louis in 1997. So the climate has changed quite a bit with radio. The media dynamics have changed. One of my favorite things that people say is, you know, Bob Hyland would be rolling in his grave if he heard you or Rush or all these things. No, Bob Hyland was a businessman, and he understood that when he was running KMOX and when KMOX had a 20 share in the market and was making gazillions of dollars and all this stuff, there was no competition. There was no 97.1, all of these things. This radio station that I'm about to start on has been our main competitor now for a long time. And it's still sort of, Dave, you would say, because they've been in the building, it's a bit of a divided culture. There's not a lot of, there's a KMOX team and there's a 97.1 team, and that's not necessarily a good thing for the entire company. So in looking toward the future with Rush being gone and probably, again, I hope I'm not saying too much, trying to depoliticize the station to a certain extent. Look, I got people who have never listened to me because they think I'm Rush Limbaugh or Mini Rush. Now, many of you know, hopefully, that that's not true. And there are a lot of things that I would break on Rush over decades of my political ideology and radio experience. And we weren't the same. But people are going to think what they want to think. I'm seeing comments today, you know, they're bummed out that Glover's leaving 97.1. I'm never going to listen to 97.1 again. What the hell is that? Why would you do that? But people are emotional. They become attached to us. I appreciate that. You are our listeners. You are our family. I depend on you. But change is sometimes good, and I think this opens up a world of possibilities for me as a broadcaster, for you as a listener if you come on over to the FM dial with me, for you as a listener if you want to listen to Dave on KMOX, or maybe you mix it up and you listen to both because he's a great, talented guy, and he's going to kill it. And I think I'm going to kill it at 97.1. I think this is really a great fit for both of us. And here's something, and this kind of gets into just some of my personal story, and Dave, and you know this, but the guy that ran 97.1 for many years, Jeff Allen, who was a friend of mine and a former morning show colleague. We did a morning show together in Columbia in the late 1980s, and then Jeff came here, he did country, and then when I ended up doing talk, he was starting to do some talk, and he put the station on the air, 97.1, and had great success with it. And before he put a morning show together years ago with Jamie Allman as the host, he called me when I was in Milwaukee and said, hey, are you interested in this? And there was anything that was on. You didn't know that even?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, this goes back 15, you know, maybe even longer. And then I would come to, I would be at KMOX, and then every year, breaking the terms of my contract, which told me that I'm not allowed to talk to anyone else, I would have a friendly lunch with Jeff just to see, because Glover was such a big pain in the ass for him, he wasn't ever sure if he was going to sign another contract, and they wanted to have a backup plan. So we would have these discussions, and it would almost seem like, you know, my destiny was going to be that radio station. But, you know, KMOX is legendary, and the call letters bring a lot. So it does come with mixed emotion that I'm going to leave. And I don't even think that that's settled in yet, you know, for me. But it's going to be a good thing. The roundtable is going to be continuing.
I've been getting a lot questions about that. Is, you know, what elements will still continue from the Mark Reardon show?
So I've had a couple of different radio dreams in my life. I had some music dreams. They didn't pan out, not because I wanted to be a rock star. Well, I wanted to be a rock star, but I was really, really interested in working in the music business. I was a record guy for a while. It just didn't turn into anything. And I'd probably be dead because of all the drugs involved that were at the time. But that's another story.
Halfway kidding.
For another chapter. halfway kidding. But my other radio dream has been, because I was never a morning show host. I was a news guy on a morning show, and I was, you know, part of an ensemble, but I've always wanted to do an ensemble radio show. And I did an ensemble at WTMJ in Milwaukee when I would fill in on an afternoon show that was one of my favorite radio shows I've ever done in my career. It's called The Greenhouse with my buddy Phil Cianciola and Bill Michaels, sports guy. Len Casper, who was with the Cubs, he's now with the White Sox. We just had a great time. And we've talked for years at trying, Dave, you know this, at trying to do different things with my show on KMOX to make it more of an ensemble. Without getting too far into the weeds here, there were challenges that just did not make that possible. So this gives me an opportunity to go to a new home where the politics fit probably a lot better, although I'm going to have, you know, I know Mark Cox. I like Mark Cox. I don't know Annie Fry very well. We're going to start working together. And I think we're going to have a lot of agreement on things. We're going to have some differences on things. And I think that that's a good thing. overall. Here's and I love the. I got one guy saying good riddance. We're getting a lot of that. So I know that.
Oh,
it's
you know
funny
he'll be listening.
So
though.
Many people. Of course they will.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing, I get so many people that say in the last couple of months, I can't wait till you leave KMOX. But those are some of those people are the hardcore Trumpers. So I don't know where this leaves them. Dave's not exactly on board with Trump either. It is a complicated, overwhelming, big, bold move, and I love it because it is big, and it's like go big or go home and just kind of dancing around the edges and making some changes. Now, here's the tough part for me, and this is me being completely honest, and the other question that I'm getting from people who know me, and they know you, Dave, and they know Fred. What does this mean for Dave and Fred? And quite candidly, I don't know the answer to that.
Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. So I don't know what the answer is there, and that kind of bums me out and makes me sad. I think hopefully it's going to all work out. You guys are going to be fine, and this does give them the opportunity to get the hell away from me if they need it for their mental sanity. But
no.
It does give you a little window here, Dave. But there's going to be some moving pieces, and as we know, there's going to be another show that's going to be announced because the Limbaugh show will no longer be around, so that's going to be something different too. And again, I can't tell you what that is because I really don't know. It's not going to be me though. That's one thing I know at this point. So anyway, that's the story. It's pretty big though, Klein, isn't it? Can I admit now? I'm just going to, because it doesn't really matter. So this has been a secret for 4 days, and I wasn't supposed to tell anyone.
Yep.
And I sat through the weekend and I could not do it, so I called Fred and Dave yesterday. Did you tell Steve that you already knew? It's fine.
No. I played dumb all day.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be the one that told you guys, and I think I did the right thing. And
I appreciate
ask for
it.
Permission. Yeah. So I don't want to say I'm going to miss you because I don't know that I am going to miss you because I think you're going to still be there in the building. They even said I don't even have to move my desk or anything. So your desk and my desk right around there in the same vicinity. So
desk is still going to be just as messy too. So that's not going to change.
Well, in
there's
my
still
defense,
stuff that piles up on there,
and I'm not even there.
No.
And there's stuff that piles up on there.
I'm
right?
Your personal UPS.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that as well. So that's the big news of the day. Again, this is going to start on the 22nd. Dave Glover switching here to KMOX. I'll be gone for that week in Mexico, provided I clear COVID protocols. Back on the 29th, doing the show on 97.1 from 3 p.m. to 6. There is a bit of a time shift because Dave's show started at 3 o'clock. He'll be on KMOX at 2 p.m. to 6 is my understanding. So it's going to be fun, and we'll be talking about it a lot here in the next few weeks. 3:18, I'll take a break. Mark Gelman on real estate, a hot market in St. Louis, coming up next.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Well, there was a story. We talked about real estate and how hot real estate is in the country, really in the St. Louis market as well. And there was a story, I think Dave Nicholas wrote it last week, about real estate in St. Louis. And we're all looking at, you know, the prices of our homes. And I think a year ago, feeling pretty good about that. And then the pandemic hits and we're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? And in fact, we've talked about this before. Mark Gelman from the Gelman team is with me this afternoon. A lot of good things happening. Mark, how are you, first and foremost? Happy Monday to you.
Thanks. Happy Monday to you, buddy. Yeah, I'll tell you. Puppies and houses. Those are the two things that over the last few months have gone crazy. And people buying puppies and people buying houses.
Well, maybe at the same time, if you buy a nice house that has a fenced-in yard like we did, that would work as well. But look, there was a story that was in the Post. I know you saw it about the real estate prices. We were up like 10% over just 1 year, and I think I saw in that that's expected maybe even for 2021 as well, Mark?
Absolutely. We have a great house that just went out today in Wildwood. It was bought for 25% less in 2019. We already have 21 showings. It will sell. And so the point is, we're seeing 25% plus increases over the last 2 years in many markets. I was talking to one of my colleagues just a minute ago, and his comment was, we are setting comp records just based on today's listings. So you can't even look in the rearview mirror to see what the house has sold for 6 months ago. It's that fast of a forward-moving market. It's actually chaos right now, Mark.
Does that leave you with a little uneasiness? Because, you know, I think even in the Dave Nicholas story last week, there's always this reference to, well, are we setting ourselves up for a big bust again at some point?
Right. The only thing we're seeing that's a little bit different is, number one, financing is still tighter than it was. Appraisals are still a little bit tighter. But what's happening is, so we're seeing people that are buying a $400,000 home. They're actually pre-approved closer to $550,000. But what they're doing is they're buying down and then blowing away the market on a comp basis. So they may, a $400,000 listed home may be bought at $450,000 today by somebody that can afford $500,000. The bummer is the person that can afford $400,000 today, they lose out. They don't even have the chance to buy that home. So I think what you're seeing is the big difference between today and 2008 is equity. Buyers today have way more equity than they did back then, way more stability. Now, the big thing is, when you look at how many people nationally are behind on their mortgages, that's going to be an interesting. Those are astonishing numbers. Now, the question is, can they get out of those? Because the market's moving so well, it may not be identical. Identified like the foreclosure crisis, because there was so much inventory. But the numbers are astonishing when you see how many people are behind on their mortgage right now.
So, and that's breaking news to me, because I had not seen those figures, and that would be of great concern, I think, to a lot of people. And it would make sense, just given the nature of the pandemic and people not being able to bring in as much money as they used to be able to, or even have a job.
Absolutely. So that's really the biggest thing that we're looking at right now, is just what the impact of that is going to be. And again, if there's still a weakness, those people are really going to do okay because of the, you know, market moving. But again, we have to see how that all pans out.
So how are you changing strategies with buyers and sellers then? You know, the one thing that we got into, Mark, several years ago, we've talked about this before, is and now I'd be completely panicked, right? Even more so. And it was still a tight supply several years ago. But my deal was, and the Gelman team actually sold my home before it went on the market because it was pending. It was coming soon and we were holding off. So then it's like, uh-oh, can we find something? So that's kind of the panic that a lot of people would be in. They're going to sell that house maybe, but can you find another house? So how do you adjust those strategies?
Right. So we certainly, if somebody wants to buy contingent, we're very transparent. It is virtually impossible to buy contingent on a home sale in today's market in those areas. So they're either going to, you know, and we don't love our clients owning two homes, quite frankly, because, you know, again, as you had the same concerns. I mean, there's nothing fun about owning two homes unless it's in a whole different state. So the point is, right now, we're very transparent with our clients. We don't like owning two homes, but certainly home sale contingencies are not working right now. So, you know, because what we're seeing, Mark, in order to buy homes right now, we are seeing many of our clients waiving contingency appraisals, waiving inspections, or at least doing them for informational purposes only. We're seeing these escalation clauses, which I'll pay $1,000 or $2,000 over the next highest buyer up to X. We're seeing signing bonuses, where if the seller signs by a certain time, you'll raise your price by $10,000 just to get that home tied up. It is competitive as heck. So what are we doing?
Oh my
gosh.
We're
educating our buyers and sellers. First of all, if you're a seller, if you're a listener, whether you use us or somebody else, you have to get your home on the market. We're having these conversations. What about just temporary moving? You sell your home and then you rent, and you're a great buyer then. So if you are considering moving at all, I don't think there's a better time to monetize it. And it's just very transparent. I mean, I have never seen this type of market, Mark. I mean, it's just, and I mean, I'm almost baffled by it. And I know it's, you know, this is authentic, because it's just, it's a really different market.
Mark Gelman from the Gelman team with me this afternoon. I want to ask you a little bit more about the escalation clauses. That's fascinating to me. So give me an example of how that might work with a buyer.
Sure. Absolutely. So Mark Reardon's the buyer. Mark's willing to pay $2,000 over the next highest price up to $415,000. So if you're at $400,000 and somebody comes in at $410,000, you're willing to pay $412,000. And what we see is escalation versus escalation versus escalation. So a $410,000 may bump it to $412,000, may bump it to somebody else's to $413,000, may bump it up to, I mean, it's chaotic. So it's just you're showing your hand without showing your hand. So you may say, well, if it's 400 and I'm willing to pay 415, aren't they just going to counter at 415? And they actually don't, because it's just either number one, satisfied at wherever you end up. But what happens is at that escalation clause, you ultimately then rewrite the contract with that firm number. But, you know, it's just another technique.
Mark Gelman from the Gelman team, who is also a friend and not only a sponsor, but this tells me quite clearly that, because we're going on a little trip together in a few weeks, that you're not going to be able to relax in Mexico. Is that true? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Mark. You're going to be disappointed, because I actually can't go any longer.
Did you ditch out?
So I just,
you ditched out on
so
this
I just
thing
was
too?
With John. I was with
Gelman.
My good buddy yesterday. Yes. But
I can't believe you ditched out.
But you know what? You're going to have an unbelievable time. Here, by the way, I want to tell you also, we just put one of your listeners on Rock Hill, nice $650,000 home under contract. So I wanted to give a shout out to say thank you, Mark, for all your listeners. Again, this weekend, they went under
contract.
That's
awesome. That's great. That is great news.
So I can't.
All right, well, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you on vacation. My wife's going to miss beating you in cribbage, but we will talk soon. How's that sound?
Hey, you got it, buddy. Let's get out there and ride, or actually play golf, since you're not a rider anymore. You're a golfer.
I don't know. I play golf poorly, but I
we're
do play golf.
There,
331.
Buddy.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. All right. Back to the news here with Sean, and we're coming back with much more. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball with Mr. Wheeler, sponsored by the Heisey Advisory Group.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, we had Cardinals baseball on yesterday. Kevin Wheeler's with me to talk a bit about it. And all I know is I was in Columbia yesterday. I was at the Heidelberg because I went to see my son with my daughter, my son who's at Mizzou. And I was in the Heidelberg and I saw the first inning. And it didn't look like Jack Flaherty got off to a great start. They end up tying the game. But, hey, it's the first outing, right, Wheeler?
Yeah. Not going to worry about that. I mean, you don't. I mean, even if it's a rookie that we don't know much about, I don't think you'd make too much of a determination based on the first day of Grapefruit League action. I'd say that if that kind of thing is happening in another 3 weeks, then we can be worried.
Yeah, well, and even Flaherty says, I pitched horribly. It was a bad way to set a tone for the team for the spring. But, you know, these things happen. Anything else that you sort of learned just from yesterday about the bullpen or anything, or is that all still too early as well?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that we learned it for a fact, but Tom Ackerman and I talked a bit about this earlier today on our Facebook live chat, that it was interesting that Alex Reyes was used only for one inning and only 9 pitches. You know, there was some thought that maybe he'd be a guy that could compete for a spot in the rotation, but John Mozeliak also mentioned to Tom yesterday on Sports on a Sunday that opportunity may be more about 2022 than it is 2021. And I would say that the fact that he only threw 9 pitches in one inning maybe gives us a little hint at what the team has in mind for Reyes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd be very curious. I mean, they're going to be careful right now with all these pitchers. Tell me what happened, for example, what happens today with a simulated game? So Waino's going to go tomorrow. There's another exhibition game tomorrow. I think we have one on the air on Wednesday. But with a simulated game, we hear about this all the time. What does that actually mean?
So they go out in the backfields, and essentially it just means you play the game, but you play with loose rules. So if you want one guy to lead off every inning, well, then he gets to lead off every inning. If you want to stop an inning, like we saw this yesterday, actually, that some of this is translating into Grapefruit League games now, too, and Cactus League games where, you know, the Cardinals' first inning, Jack Flaherty's pitch total was getting a little high, and they're like, all right, we just want to end this inning. So they did. They just walked off the field with runners on base. And that's basically what happens in the sim games. It's very controlled. Like, if they want to put runners on base to have pitchers work out of situations or to work on something specifically defensively, or, for example, Mark, if a guy just doesn't have the feel for a certain pitch, he can go into the sim game and throw that pitch over and over and over and over, and you don't have to worry about how it translates into a game that people might be watching.
Ben Fredrickson has an interesting column at the Post right now, because he talks about how, look, in spring training, you have a natural time to sort of see where you are with the pitching, figuring out that rotation spot, all those things, and says, look, starters who don't secure a rotation spot will likely head to the bullpen. Outfielders who come up short will likely head to the bench or to the minors. But he talks about this scenario, which he describes as far more complicated, where you have a veteran that is trying to prove he has something left, a player who should be entering his prime, and a young up-and-comer who's created big expectations. He's talking about Carpenter, Edmund, and Nolan Gorman, and the impact that that could make on the 2021 season. And that's really, that little trifecta right there is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole thing is. I mean, you know, that it's, you know, when you're looking at not just how things play out in spring, but how teams plan, right, and how teams are going to approach one year to the next. I mean, this is part of the, I guess you could say, the life cycle of Major League Baseball, right? I mean, you know, Carpenter's in his mid-30s. For a time, he was your best hitter and arguably your most important hitter. But that's been a couple of years since that's been the case. But you never want to write somebody off, especially, Mark, when they make $18 million, right? I mean, you'd love to get production out of a guy like that rather than have somebody that's, you know, making a lot of money not playing. Now, in reality, I mean, your total payroll is your total payroll, and you probably don't care that much which individual pieces produce as long as someone does. But, yeah, that's all kind of the fun part about this is seeing where things go. And Gorman's in an interesting spot because one thing we're pretty sure of is unless Arenado were to opt out of his deal, third base isn't going to be open for a while.
Yeah, and how did he look yesterday?
He made a really nice play in the field, in playing third base, by the way. He made a nice backhanded play and threw the runner out. I don't think – nothing stood out to me from his one at-bat. He two at-bats. He had a walk and then made an out in the other one. And I mean, you're not going to see much, you know, in just a couple of at-bats there. But he made a nice play at third base, and it wasn't Arenado-esque, but it was a pretty good play on the opening day of Grapefruit League action.
Well, I just hope we get, you know, just got to get through these next few weeks very quickly and get to some game action, some real game action. I think people are hungry right now. It's cool that there's fans down there able to see baseball, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to see, you know, Nolan Arenado. You know, normally it'd be a little bit more noisy and it would be a little bit more, maybe more drawn out, but he got a nice standing ovation yesterday. I think it was good that was possible, and I'm looking forward to that on opening day, Mark. I mean, I know it's not going to be your typical opening day with 42,000 fans and all that, but, I mean, it feels like it's more than it actually is because we're so used to not seeing anybody in the stands. And I think even Blues players, right, they only have a really small percentage of fans still, you know, at Enterprise Center, for example. But even the players have said it's noticeable. Like, it's such a big change from the way things had been, especially when they were in the bubble last year, that it makes a noticeable difference, and I'm sure it's going to be the same for the Cards.
Where are we at with our college basketball programs right now? I mean, Mizzou didn't play over the weekend. They, you know, I guess we'll play. Are they scheduled for tomorrow?
Wednesday,
yeah. And yeah. SLU gets a victory over the Spiders on Friday. Is that the last time they played?
Yep, and they're up tonight, obviously, 5 o'clock tonight. And if they were to pull off a win, if I'm reading this correctly, because, you know, they're going by winning percentage, not conference wins, because everybody's played different numbers of games because of COVID. I think they can finish as high as the 6th seed if they win, and they can be – I don't think they can be lower than the 9th seed. So they're going to be somewhere in there, and then they'll play again on Thursday at some point. If they're the 8 or 9 seed, that'll be like 11 in the morning. If they're the 7 seed, I think it's 3:30 in the afternoon, and if they're the 6 seed, I think they play in the evening. But, you know, we'll know a lot more about – kind of where they stand, because they're probably in a position where they're going to have to make a bit of a run in the A-10 tournament to get in at, you know, just based on how things have gone since their time down with COVID. And with Mizzou, Mark, I'm not sure that they're in such a bad spot. I mean, I think, you know, they got two more regular season games and then you get into the SEC tournament. I think a couple of wins in the SEC tournament might get them in there.
Well, I think so, too. I would say that they're in. It's just a matter of seeding right now. And I always thought this being ranked 10th or 11th or 12th or however high they got, maybe it was 12th, was a bit ambitious. Certainly,
yeah.
I could have saw them, you know, as a 5 or a 6 seed a couple of weeks ago. I think maybe it's going to be that, you know how it is. Mizzou loves to be that 8-9 game, right? And then if they somehow win, they'll get the 1 seed in the second round.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I just think the way this is ending for at least two of the three teams with all these expectations locally is a bit of a bummer. But it's not over yet. It is not over yet, certainly.
No. And look, I mean, they'd have to probably fall on their faces down the stretch here to not get in. And of course, Illinois, boy, how about them? I mean, they're up at number four now, and then tomorrow night they take on number two Michigan. So they got, you know, they got, I think, number seven Ohio State later this week. So they've got a big finish. But obviously, Illinois is in the sweet spot. They're going to be one of the highest seeded teams in the country. And, you know, there's a chance, Mark, that we could get all three, but we might be looking at two of them getting in unless SLU wins the A-10.
I just love the fact, I really do think this is going to be a fun, I think the conference tournaments are going to be fun because of more parity. I think the NCAA tournament is going to be more fun because you're not going to have, look, as good as Gonzaga is, and they're still undefeated, right, because I think they won over the weekend. You know, how tough has their competition been? So there's always a question about that with their conference. So I think it's going to be fun to see how the next few weeks move forward. And let's not forget where we were a year ago with all this, you know, first the announcement was we're not going to have fans. We're going to have an NCAA tournament with no fans. I thought that was utterly ridiculous. And then when I found out no NCAA tournament at all, I'm like, oh, please, please let's do it with no fans. That would be awesome. So at least we're going to get a tournament, it looks like.
It does. And you know, a lot of what I've been reading from some of the top college basketball analysts out there, Mark, is, you know, the top two or three, maybe four, kind of stand out from the crowd. And then after that, everybody's basically in chaos mode. So that could lead for a hell of a lot of entertainment in the Big Dance if you have that many teams that are all at least within the same range of one another.
Kevin Wheeler is back at 4:15 during Total Information PM on CamOX. We'll chat then. Thank you, sir.
Now, more of Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120 CamOX.
Well, I'm confused by quite a few things. I will tell you that. But this has to be one of the more confusing things that I've seen. Now, this is from the dailymail.com. But this is hard for me to believe. And nobody believes in polling anymore anyway. They surveyed 18 to 24-year-olds across the pond, and they found that only half of all young people are solely attracted to members of the opposite sex. In a sign that attitudes toward expressing sexuality are shifting, a survey of 18 to 24-year-olds in the UK found just over 50% are only attracted to those of the opposite sex. As the age group gets older, the proportion of people who are only attracted to the opposite sex got higher. So, Klein, are you in this age group yet? Are you past 34
here.
Yet? Well, no, that's 18 to 24-year-olds, but you're well above that. But
I am, yeah.
15, do you really believe 50% of people 18 to 24 are attracted to both? That seems like
not
a high
for
number.
A second. But hey, no, I don't.
You don't believe that?
No.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. That was bizarre. All right, before I get to audio cut of the day, let me just recap the news of the day. It was a big trade. A big trade announced today, and it was not J.J. Watt to the Cardinals, which in fact did happen. If you're not caught up, Mark Reardon Show moving to 97.1 FM Talk at the end of this month. Dave Glover, who is currently on 97.1 right now as we speak, is moving to KMOX. He'll come on the 22nd because I'm on vacation that week. A big swap. I think it's great. I'm excited. It's a big head explosion. A lot of people are just going crazy today over it, but it's going to be a good thing, and we'll explain it more as we move forward here in the next few weeks. Dave, let's do this here real quick.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. All right, I'm just going to play. Usually I don't like to do this for cut of the day, like a radio story or a TV anchored story, but this one has to be played because it kind of speaks for itself here.
Whether it's the cha-cha slide,
turn it up,
or the Cupid shuffle. Wedding dances in New York will look a bit different next month when receptions resume. The state says guests will be allowed to bust a move only with members of their immediate party, household, or family seated at the same table. Dancers must wear face masks and stay within their own dancing zones.
Now walk it by yourself. Now walk it by yourself.
Lisa Mateo, CBS News.
Yes. Hey. And there's no switching dancing zones either. If you're in one dance zone, you cannot go to another dance zone. The happy couples, as she said, they can still do a ceremonial first dance, and other couples can join, but it has to be 6 feet apart. I just have to laugh at this because who the hell is going to enforce this? I love things like this because they're just so utterly ridiculous. Let's not forget that the rules in St. Louis County when Sam Page clamped down in the fall required people to leave their homes with face masks on. You remember that? Nobody did it. I did see a few people driving around in their cars, and maybe that was for different reasons, but some of it just is laughable. In New York, a lot of it's been laughable. A lot of it's been tragic and deadly as well. 3:55, that's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.